Okay, let me officially welcome you to today's call, which is all about inner peace for conscious achievers. I'm your host, Mary Allen, and many of you already know who I am, but those of you that don't, my name is Mary Allen, and I'm a Master Certified Coach, also known as America's Inner Peace Coach. I am author of The Power of Inner Choice, 12 Weeks to Living a Life You Love, and am host of Conversations with the Masters, where I've interviewed different best-selling authors and speakers like Wayne Dyer, Byron Katie, Ken Wilber, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Mace, and lots of others. I coach entrepreneurs, business owners, transformational leaders, and even a couple billionaires. I'm particularly focused on supporting conscious achievers. These are individuals, maybe like yourself, who are on a path of consciousness, who may have had a profound awakening experience, who value having a sense of inner peace in addition to realizing your goals, realizing your dreams. Today's call is really specifically designed for you, the conscious achiever. The one thing that I've noticed is that there's some unique challenges that go along with being a conscious achiever. And let me just get right to what that is. First off, virtually every one of us as a human being has experienced some sense of sweet inner peace. Maybe it's been a time in nature, time with a loved one. Could be when you work out or exercise, you get tapped into that peace. Certainly, we all experience a little bit of that sense of peace right before we doze off and go to bed at night. And what can be really frustrating as a conscious achiever is to have those moments in time when you can readily remember the times of inner peace, but you can't readily access them. Perhaps you know what I'm talking about. Not exactly all that fun. So what we're going to be focusing on today is six questions to help you transform inner turmoil in minutes, regardless of what is going on externally or internally. And I say that full-heartedly. Those of you that are listening to this as a live call, you'll have an opportunity to test me with it, this at the end if there's some situation or question that you think, well, what about this situation? Bring that to the end of the call, and we'll address that specifically. We're going to be talking about how to detangle an emotional traffic jam. So this is when you're feeling a sense of maybe overwhelm, frustration, anxiety, and we want to get you out of this emotional traffic jam, ideally without damaging anyone or anything in the process. And that includes yourself. So no chucking things across the wall, no breaking glasses, no harming your spouse, if only verbally, right? We also want to address how you can create fresh momentum, especially when your batteries are feeling drained, when your creativity is stifled, when procrastination is alive, or, you know, any other time that you're just feeling plain stuck. Maybe you're not in the throes of, overwhelm or angst, but it's just, you're stuck. You want to move forward towards an important goal or project, and you're finding yourself not feeling like you can take action in that moment. We're going to be addressing that and, what to do when your inbox gets overflowing with emails and your to-dos and commitments become way too much to handle. We're going to address that. We're also going to address how to address immobilizing feelings of overload, uncertainty, and irritability without reaching for chemical substances of any kind, legal or otherwise. Or even just considering that as an option. So I want you to leave feeling empowered that regardless of anything that gets thrown your way, that the six questions I'm going to empower you with are going to set you up to be able to walk you through in a matter of minutes bringing you out of each of these situations. So there are kind of two key times when you're going to want to apply this process. And this process that we're about to get into is called the Inner Peace Reality Check. I actually developed this out of my own, out of my own suffering and my own need, because I, too, had an experience of profound awakening many years ago, about 7 years ago, and I knew that place of serene inner peace. In many cases, could find myself easily accessing it, you know, stepping into the present moment, and maybe doing a list of appreciations to get in a high energy vibration, or moving and shaking my body in a different way that could enliven my energy. So I had some really simple strategies that worked quite effectively most of the time. But then there were the times when, I may not have thrown anything, but I sure felt like it. The times when there were so many things going on simultaneously. That was like the phone call that gives you some disappointing news that just is like the straw that breaks the camel's back, you know. And there's so many things going on simultaneously. Maybe it's 500 emails in your inbox. Maybe it's that time of the month. Since I am a woman, that tends to happen about a monthly basis. The hormones are flaring. Maybe I haven't eaten well that day, or I'm dehydrated. And then I get that one more piece of news, some kind of a disappointment. Maybe it's a client that decides to complete, or a bad piece of news, finding out that a friend has been diagnosed with cancer, or maybe somebody that was going to come visit isn't going to be able to come visit, something. And then all of those situations together sort of create this emotional traffic jam. And I found myself in those kinds of situations where I was very, very frustrated, not knowing how can I get myself back. And there were some processes that I'd had available to me in the past, maybe Byron Katie's The Work, 4 questions from the turnaround, and that didn't seem to really work as directly, because it wasn't really necessarily a person I was frustrated against. So that process didn't seem to work so well, and other tools and resources seemed to fail me. And so I ended up creating this Inner Peace Reality Check process, which is essentially 6 questions that can guide you out of emotional turmoil in a matter of minutes. And I've also found that it's particularly useful just to create some new, fresh momentum. Conscious achievers are always wanting to continue to move towards their goals and into their highest potential, because it is fulfilling and it's one amazing path for self-expression. So I found that these 6 questions are very powerful for that. So if you're listening to this as a recording or on CD, you've probably been given a worksheet that you can follow along with. If you're listening to this live right now, you'll be receiving that questionnaire, worksheet, a little bit later on, so it's not necessary to have that in front of you right now. I'll be naming those questions for you here. But what I'd like you to do for purposes of today is I'd like you to think about something that you would like transformed right now. So think about maybe you're in an emotional traffic jam right now. Maybe there's an area in your life, maybe in the area of business or finances, maybe in the area of relationships or health, where you'd like to create some fresh momentum. So either way, I'd like you to think about that right now. What situation you'd like to apply this Inner Peace Reality Check process to? So, okay, I'm going to assume you all have gotten your questions and are ready to go. Bring on those questions. So number one, I'll reiterate the times we want to use the Inner Peace Reality Check process. 1, you want to create fresh momentum. 2, you're feeling stuck in any shape, way, or form. Emotional traffic jam may be one way to describe it. Could be feeling a sense of procrastination, any kind of stuckness. And 3, it can also be used as a quick release, where you don't necessarily have to use all 6 of the questions, but you can still use this as a structure, as a quick release to have you move forward. Okay, so drum roll, let's get right into the Inner Peace Reality Check. The alignment formula. The alignment formula that will allow you to come into alignment mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So here's question 1. What's the reality of the situation? Sounds like a, like what? What's the reality of the situation? With this question, what we really want to do is really distinguish clearly what's going on. We want to kind of, if you will, if you imagine like kind of a ball of, just imagine like intertwining your fingers. And ultimately what we want to do is we want to kind of separate everything out so that instead of it all being wadded up into like a ball, like we want to just kind of peel it out so that we can look at each one of the individual fingers that are contributing to your particular situation, the stuckness, the frustration, the overwhelm of your particular situation. So we want to peel that out. So we want to look at what's the reality of the situation. So let me bring I'll bring 2 different situations to the table, and we'll walk through how we might apply these questions to these 2 different situations. And as I'm doing so, you may begin to make some notes to yourself about what's the reality of your situation. So one situation that affected me was I found myself in my office. It was a Friday afternoon. And the reality of the situation was that there were 500 emails in my inbox. That's a fact. There were about 8 projects I had on my to-do list. Part of the reality of the situation was I wanted them all to be done by Monday, and that was a fairly unrealistic situation. It was that time of the month, so there was some PMS going on. I was hungry, part of the reality of the situation. Another fact of the situation is that I'd already put in a really full week. Maybe I'd already put in 60 hours that week and gotten a piece of news that, we want you to come back for a second mammogram, right? So kind of all that, email overload going on, kind of all these situations tied in. So if I were doing the Inner Peace Reality Check process, I would simply start jotting down some notes. And that's one of the most key things about this process. We don't want to just do this process in your head. You can do the process in your head for just very quick, simple things, but for the big, major emotional inner turmoil situations, we really want to have you write it down. Because when we do write down your answers, well, when you write them down, I won't be doing it for you, it has a way of slowing the mind down and has a way of allowing us to observe our situation more objectively. And that's really what we're trying to do, is we're wanting to get into a place of awareness and just simply observe what's going on here. What's the reality of the situation? So physically, what are the facts? What's the physical reality without any story, without any meaning, or without any interpretation, just the objective facts? So an objective fact, 500 emails to respond to, 8 projects, PMS, number of hours already worked, operating on 4 hours of sleep, if that's the case for you, being invited back for a second look on the mammogram, that's a fact. We can look at the next question. We might name this in the reality of the situation, but understand that as we get into, emotionally, let's say, what's the emotional reality of the situation? I might name some of the emotions that I'm feeling. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling defeated, perhaps. when I start getting into that, it's a little bit less objective in terms of reality, but it is part of reality, so we name it as emotion. Mentally, we might start looking at, okay, so what's the reality of the situation mentally? What am I believing right now? What am I focusing on? So mentally in that situation, it could be, I'm imagining that, I'm believing that I need to respond to all of these emails right away. And if I don't, that people are going to be disappointed in me, and then they're not going to like me, and they're going to stop doing business with me, and then I'm going to be broke, and life is going to be over as I know it. Like, that's where mentally I start going down the story path. So we might name what we believe, but we also want to also just be really clear, what's the objective reality? So anything where it's not a fact in reality is something we want to stay away from. Let me give another situation, another reality of the situation. So I was just in New York City last weekend, and we actually flew out on Thursday on a red eye, arriving Friday morning. And as we took the bus into the city, we were waiting for the bus, and it looked like it was going to be another 20 minutes, and it was warm, and we looked on our iPhone that the hotel was about a mile away. Well, it's like, okay, well, that's not so far. Why don't we just walk? My husband's like, I'd love some exercise, right? So we started walking, and all of a sudden, both of us started feeling a little bit of stress and frustration, and maybe just frustration. Maybe with my husband it might have been a little bit of anger and pissed offness because he was carrying a very heavy bag. So, what's the reality of the situation? He was carrying a heavy suit bag with a shoulder strap that didn't have very good padding. So even with his shirt padded underneath it, it was very painful. Other reality of the situation, he was also, carrying his or dragging a set of sound of equipment and his computer. I had a big suitcase and then also carrying a bag that had my laptop, so also pretty heavy. It was sort of warm and muggy. It was about 9 a.m., so plenty of foot traffic there in New York City. And the reality of the situation is those bags started feeling heavier and heavier the more and more we walked, and we weren't 100% certain where we were going, right? So the other reality of the situation is we hadn't eaten food in quite a while, so that sort of was adding to the situation. And another reality of my situation is I was witnessing a husband who was a little bit annoyed and irritable, which I like my husband to more be, happy and grounded and focused and connected, right? So that's the reality of the situation. So there's two different scenarios. And hopefully, as we've talked here, you can be jotting down a few notes about what's the reality of your situation. So then we go to the second question. And this is where we want to bring out our metaphorical magnifying glass. And we want to ask the question, here's question number two, what am I resisting? What am I resisting? So this is where it may not seem super obvious that you're resisting anything. It's just, I'm not resisting anything. It's like, I'm just feeling frustrated and da da da. Here's the deal. If you are feeling any kind of stress, frustration, any kind of emotion that is not peaceful, well, then there's some level of resistance going on. So we want to get curious about what that is. So if we come back to my email overload situation, I might look at, what am I resisting? I'm resisting the idea of disappointing others. If I get attached to an idea that if I don't respond to these emails by the end of the day that I'm going to disappoint others, it's actually a story that I'm resisting, but But it is what I'm resisting. So we resist stories all the time, things that are made up. I could be resisting letting some work go. Here I have, you know, 7 projects to work on, resisting letting go of the idea of, you know, of getting one of them done in a certain time period. All right, resisting that. I probably at that time was resisting self-care, you know, picking myself up from the desk, getting down, getting myself some water and some nourishment, or even just laying down and being kind to myself, taking a hot bath because, well, it's that time of the month and it's still a little PMS-y, right? I could have been resisting my own sense of neediness. Sometimes when we females get hormonal, we get a little more needy. And when that feeling arises, sometimes we resist that neediness. And instead of allowing ourselves to get the support we need and to be nurtured, we just resist it. So net effect, we create more frustration, more stress. Not so good. We might also be resisting letting someone down. Certainly in that situation, some of my commitments and projects involved other people, whether it was my team members waiting on something from me or even, you know, getting something to, you know, back to a client. So we might resist letting someone down. We go over to the situation with New York. You know, what are we resisting? Well, I can tell you for one, I was resisting the heat. And we can think of, you know, when we're in a place where we're feeling warm, sometimes if we can remember a time when we were really, really cold, feeling the heat actually feels really good, right? But when we're in a hot and we begin to resist it, and we're focusing our attention on resisting that heat, all we're doing is creating stress for ourselves. I'm sure we resisted at least one bump or two on New York City sidewalks. Maybe resisting a sense of uncertainty. How much longer? How long is this block? You know, are we going the right direction? I don't believe we actually had the address of the hotel. We knew one of the hotels, but not the other one. So resisting some uncertainty there. Maybe resisting receiving support. But there can be other things. There are things like worry. Worry is resisting a future that hasn't happened yet, right? So I might be anticipating my worst-case scenario, and as I resist that worst-case scenario, of course, it hasn't happened. I'm just, you know, again, noticing that I'm resisting story, not reality. It's a great way to build stress and angst inside of our bodies. So I can imagine the worst-case scenario. So anyone that has children knows this one well, anticipating worst-case scenario. Oh, my child starts driving, they're in a car accident, you know, they haven't come home yet, something's happened to them. So you begin thinking worst-case scenario, your body begins to tense up, you end up getting completely consumed by a future, and then what happens? You know, Johnny or little Susie comes walking in with a smile on their face, totally fine. And yet you've wasted all this time and energy and suffering on a future that hasn't happened. So that's another way to resist. We can resist alternatives. Sometimes we get real set in a certain path happening, and we resist the alternatives. Sometimes we resist certain feelings popping up. And I would say that frustration, overwhelm, those are generally emotions that people don't really want to feel into, but we'll in a few steps notice that that might be something we want to reconsider, that actually maybe we do want to feel into our overwhelm or whatever feeling, anger or whatever feeling is arising. We can resist what is. Of course, that's a big catch-all. We can resist the past. That's called regret. We can often resist our own worthiness, resisting our own sense of abundance. That can happen. This particularly happens when we're in a financial situation. Maybe we're sitting down and we're paying our bills and so forth. And often the scenario I hear is it's the downward spiral. So taking this situation and assuming it's only going to get worse, right? And in a way, we resist our own abundance, our own worthiness, instead of saying, okay, so universe, let me open myself up. We need some more cash flow here. So really, let's open ourselves up to receiving. Let's know that I'm totally and 100% completely taken care of, shifting that energy vibration. Other forms of resistance, we can resist disorder. Sometimes we can resist solitude, spending time alone. This can happen while maybe a husband or spouse is away, or maybe you're single and you're finding yourself in a situation where you're really, really resisting the aloneness. And so again, all we're wanting to do here is observe. We're not going to want to judge the resistance. We're just wanting to name it, because in the naming of it, it gives us more power to be able to move through it. And most of us, when we're in any kind of a not-so-good feeling place where we're emotionally in a traffic jam, we're not aware of what we're resisting. What other ones have we not named? Resisting imperfection, resisting not being in control. That can be a big one for many of us. Resisting a particular deadline. You may be resisting yourself and some strength that you have. Maybe you're resisting taking a particular action or making a tough choice or decision. Maybe you're resisting some aspect of the truth. Maybe you're resisting the idea of failing in the future. Again, that would come back to kind of resisting a future that hasn't happened yet. Or it could be, you know, maybe there is a disappointment that occurred. And believe me, I've taken on so many things this year. I could certainly say that many things were failures this year. And I can also look at with each failure, if I don't resist it, it's just a really great learning opportunity. But we can definitely resist failure or the potential to fail. We can resist the loss. We can also resist other people and their humanity. So hopefully that gives you lots of ideas of what you can potentially resist. So that's question number two. What am I resisting? Question number one, what's the reality of the situation? Question number two, what am I resisting? So let's move on to question number three. Question number three is, what if I continue resisting? And I will tell you, of all the questions, I find this question the most annoying when I'm in the middle of trying to detangle myself. And I will say that when I'm in the middle of all of this, inner turmoil, if we'll call it that, just to give it a title name, I like to refer to these six questions as the six annoying questions. And certainly question number three is the most annoying in my book. And that question is, well, what if I continue resisting? Oh, good. So we here with this question, we want to look at the potential cost to you if you continue resisting. How will you feel? How will you be affected? How will this impact others? And almost across the board, we can say that when we are in a place of resistance, inner turmoil, suffering of any kind, number one, right off the bat, we can add to the list, well, we're aging ourselves and we're impacting our health. It is absolutely proven fact that the more, that actually even spending I believe it's as little as 5 minutes of intense stress lowers your immune system for the next 6 hours. Yep, kind of a sad but true fact. 5 minutes of intense stress lowers your immune system for the next 6 hours. This makes us more susceptible to disease. This makes us more prone to just picking up a cold or an ailment, or making it more difficult for our body to heal an injury of some kind. It also raises our cortisol levels, which also makes it difficult to lose weight as well. That can interfere with fertility. Of course, many of us know other people that when they're in a place of resistance, they could get cranky with a spouse or a loved one or a child, right? When we resist, almost, again, another very often when we're in a big place of resistance, allowing creativity, productivity, accessing your intuition, all of those things become much more difficult when we're in a place of resistance. So not a fun question to step into. What if I continue resisting? Oh, let me take inventory of, you know, all the bad consequences. But here's what we're doing is we're wanting to create a little leverage for why we might want to, you know, make a shift from here. And that's really what the purpose of this question is. So let's take and apply this question. We'll take it back to your own situation. Hopefully you've discovered some points of resistance for yourself in your particular situation. But let's ask, you know, so what if you keep resisting? Write down some of those questions for you, or those answers for yourself. I know for me, my email overload situation, well, if I keep resisting, I'm going to be unproductive and end up wasting the time that I do have. Certainly the quality of my responses in email aren't going to be nearly as connected if I'm in a place of resistance, right? So that's not good. If I keep resisting, I'm probably not going to be very inspired to take care of myself. So that's not good. So if I'm not tending to my own hunger, that could mean that I'll consume twice as many calories the next time because I'll be famished and then wanting to really be trying to address that hunger. So that's the situation for email overload situation. Let's take us back to New York City. What if we keep resisting? Well, and I'll just take my situation. I'll leave my husband out of it. If I were to have kept resisting the situation in New York, I could have been annoyed the rest of the day, so it would have impacted how I was communicating with John, my husband. Yeah, I'm just getting ready to lead an Awakening Beyond Achievement event. Very well could impact my ability to create impact at that event. And really, just immediate suffering in the present moment, right? If I keep resisting, it's just going to be a miserable, my bags are going to feel heavier. I'm probably going to sweat twice as much. And it's going to be quite annoying. Okay, so there we go. And here's the key with question number 3. What if I continue resisting? I want to really associate and emotionally connect into those feelings, the feelings of, wow, being unproductive, the feelings of what's the impact on my relationship and how do I feel when I communicate to my husband in a way that's cranky or bitchy in any way, right? Or, you know, feeling into the damage that I'm doing to my body, right? Or the lack of productivity and how much work there'll be to do later because I'm not getting anything done now. I want to fully associate to that. And here's the truth. You want to write this down. If you can't feel it, you can't heal it. If you can't feel it, you can't heal it. And that simply means if we're not willing to go into a feeling of overwhelm or a feeling of frustration or, you know, feeling the sense of disappointment, we can't ultimately transcend it and move through it. This is really particularly true with grief. If we're not really willing to feel the depth of our grief, whether we've lost a loved one, whether we've transitioned out of a relationship, or loss of a pet, if we're not willing to feel the depths of the pain, it's going to run us until we do. And this is why some people who they stay stuck in a grieving for a spouse for years, sometimes 8, 10, you know, I've seen people in situations even longer than that, and it's not because they're feeling grief, it's because they're not feeling it fully. They're feeling maybe 90% of it, but it's that last 10% or that last 1% that really gives us the freedom. If anger is alive for me, well, one of the quickest ways through is to get it expressed, even to, you know, like get into it fully. It actually is more transformative than just trying to brush it under the carpet. So, okay, so that's question number 3. What if I continue resisting? So I hope you've felt into your answers fully. Let's go on to question number 4. This question feels a lot better, especially in contrast to question number 3. Question number 4 is, what can I appreciate? What can I appreciate? So given your current situation, exactly as it is right here and right now, what can you appreciate about this situation? What could be the gift, the opportunity, or the benefit of this situation as it is, all tangled up and everything, right? And what could be the gift of these immobilizing feelings of overwhelm or uncertainty? And I know for a fact that if you're really in it, that oftentimes the very first thought that comes up is, well, nothing. I don't appreciate anything about the situation. This is a ridiculous question. You know, who is this life coach Mary person who thinks this is a good question? Now, I understand that might be one of the responses, but you can always come back with the question, well, so if you could appreciate something about the situation, what would it be? And just be a little bit more patient with yourself. So let's go back to email overload. Well, I can appreciate that I'm in demand, that there are an abundance of opportunities available to me. I can appreciate that my body's giving me signals to slow down and take a break. I could appreciate all the work that I've accomplished up until this point in time. I might appreciate that this is an opportunity for me to learn how to navigate through an emotional traffic jam so I could inspire other people, right? What could I appreciate about getting a phone call to come back for a second mammogram? Well, I could appreciate that they caught something that maybe could end up saving my life. Okay, so now I can begin to look for what I can appreciate about the situation. Maybe you've got, maybe your child is sick, and maybe there's a little frustration that, I had plans all week, and this is going to interrupt my workflow, my work schedule. But, you know, what could you appreciate about the situation? You know, this is an opportunity for me to really connect with my child and have them feel the love and the nurturing that is alive for me all the time but doesn't always get expressed. So we can also take, well, let's go back to New York City. We're walking a mile with 4 heavy bags, 9 o'clock during rush hour, and it's rush hour on the sidewalks as much as it is on the streets, of course. What can I appreciate about the situation? And I will say I actually did apply these questions as I was walking. This is one situation I actually didn't write down my answers for obvious reasons, but what could I appreciate about the situation? I can appreciate really how people in New York City can feel a sense of stress and overwhelm. It's, for me, as a Californian, And when I came and visited New York, it was always a tourist type thing. So it was exciting and fun. It was like Disneyland. And I really didn't have the experience of stress in New York City, so it actually made it hard for me to really relate to people that, you know, had that stress and weight from living in New York City. So, wow, what can I appreciate? You know, I now have a real sense of compassion. I understand what it must be like to do this, and not just on a, you know, a one-time basis, but on an ongoing basis. I also recognized that how important sleep is to my sense of inner peace. We'd been on a red eye, and maybe got about an hour and a half sleep on the first leg because I was doing some work on the plane, and then maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours on the second leg. But in total, that was, even at best, that could have been maybe 3, maybe 4 hours of not really perfect sleep. You're sleeping upright and you're, wedged up in those cramped seats. But I could just feel my body just screaming for sleep and really, getting that, how important sleep is to my sense of inner peace. What else could I appreciate about the situation? What else? Nothing else. Okay. And that might be the situation where you run across a couple answers and, okay, maybe that's it. It doesn't have to be a huge long list. But for you right now, really step into, what can you appreciate about your situation? And I know in asking clients this question, sometimes I need to sit there and hold a space for them to find really what the gifts are. And actually, I will say there was one more gift in the situation with New York, and that was, in retrospect, we walked by a place called Bryant Park, and because I was noticing kind of what was around me and just, paying attention to surroundings, I later went to meet a girlfriend. I actually kind of had a feeling for where that was. So I probably would have been clueless had we not had that experience of kind of walking through that area. So there we go. Question number 4, what can I appreciate about the situation? So then we go to question number 5, and this is a question of abundance. What are my options? That's the question. What are my options? One thing to get here is options are neutral. They're just options. And as we're exploring this question, we want to write down as many possible answers as we can. And some of these options are going to be really amazing options. Some of them might be ridiculous. I encourage people just to do a complete brain dump so that we can just really explore options. So we go back to what are my options with my email overload situation. My options are, I could delete all of my emails. I could just hit the delete button. I actually know people that teach email overwhelm, and one of their strategies is actually to hit delete on everything. So, okay, it's an option. Other option is, this really could be the time to develop a system or strategy around managing email in a more effective way. I could reach out to friends and find out how other people that are dealing with large quantities of email handle it, and see what they do. Another option is I could say no to needing to respond to all these emails now. Another option, I could just start handling things one at a time. Right? So I might actually, what are my options? I could actually name my very next action step. This is particularly useful if you're applying this to some kind of an overwhelmed situation. What are my options? Well, I could reach out to so-and-so. I could sit down and write this email. I could go to the gym and work out. I could get myself a meal. I could make this particular phone call, whatever it is, that might be part of what you do for this question. What are my options? Maybe another option is I take an inner peace time out. I lay down on the bed, close my eyes, maybe I do a meditation, let myself unplug for a few minutes. So there are a variety of options. Here I am in New York City. What are my options? Well, we could keep walking and just appreciate the exercise. There's something even else we could appreciate about the situation. Another option is we could, you know, stop and just call a cab at this point or hail a cab at this point. And another option that's always available is we could continue resisting. And this is a good one to explore, is that we can continue resisting and fighting against. And just even recognizing that that's one of the options is going to be very useful, because it's going to bring you to a place of choice. It isn't that resisting is bad. There might be some situations where you want to resist. And another thing to get is that you can do nothing. So maybe one, you know, in either situation, maybe it's just about stopping and waiting until there's some divine guidance about what to do next. Just stopping and doing nothing. So what are my options? And this is a good time to go ahead and write down what some options may be for your particular situation. All right. And ideally, with this question, we're looking at ultimately, now what are my options that, like, what would it look like to align with the situation? So we might consider that. You know, what's an option that would help me align with the situation? You know, in the case of New York City, we might have stopped and called, gotten a cab sooner, right? But the reality is we were also resisting. Let's go back to one other piece of resistance, resisting having to pay, tons and tons of money to just go a mile when we felt like we were physically capable to go there, not knowing how expensive a cab was. So resisting a price tag that we didn't even know. All right, so there's another point of resistance. So here's another way to use what are my options questions. If we find ourselves in a situation where we can real quickly recognize the reality of the situation and let go of resistance as soon as we name the reality, we might go right to the options question. So, for example, I'm thinking of a time that I ran out of gas. Not a particularly fun situation, but I had run out of gas, sitting in the mall, felt that initial moment of, darn it, it's like, I can't believe this is happening, and a little bit of that initial moment of resistance, which caught my attention, as all resistance should, catch your attention. So I asked myself the question, so what's the reality of the situation? Out of gas? Other reality? Cars need gas to run. Got it. And here I am at the mall, many miles from my home. All right? And as soon as I sat there, and let go, and even just in the recognizing of the reality, all the resistance sort of melted away right away. So I went right to, well, what are my options? Like, well, I can call my husband John and create a little drama and, you know, tell him what's going on, try and get some empathy, which he probably won't really dish out. And, of course, he's miles away anyway. What's he going to be able to do anyway? Another option, I could get out of the car and I could go see where the closest gas station is. And in that particular situation, that's exactly what I did. I got out of the car. It was a nice, warm, balmy Santa Ana winds afternoon in Southern California, so it was really pleasant. I hadn't worked out that day, so here I am walking to the gas station. I recognized one immediately, which was maybe a block, two blocks away. I was just across the long parking lot. And, you know, here I am stepping into appreciation. Wow, I'm getting some exercise in for the day. I'm just being really present with everything going on around me that I don't spend time usually in this part of town very often, so just was appreciating the hustle bustle and getting to see how other people experience life and just, you know, experiencing this moment. And this was what was available to me, just going from what's the reality of the situation? Oh, out of gas. What are my options? Walk. Let's go get some gas to the nearest place. As it turns out, as I came walking back with my gas in hand, because I was in such a, you know, peaceful place of alignment, of course, there was a nice guy from Texas in a car right next to me who then offered to help me. I didn't even have to figure out how to put the gas in my own car. Had this great guy help me out, and ended up, you know, great conversation, and, you know, off we go. So that's question number five, and another way that we can use the Inner Peace Reality Check process. So let's go to question number six. What will I consciously choose? This is a coaching question, and it's an action question. It's not good enough just to brainstorm your list of options. We really want to look, well, we want to look at all of our options and actually make a choice. That choice might be to do nothing. That choice might be to continue to resist. Remember, options are neutral. And we might choose something that came out of our results of brainstorming, right? What will I consciously choose? So as it turns out, it, with the email situation, what I consciously chose, I didn't delete all my emails, but I did choose to reach out to a colleague and learned actually about how she was using filters and folders in her email system to really managed the large quantity of email, and as a result, I ended up creating a whole kind of hierarchy system of kind of filing my email and setting up some automatic filters. So a lot of newsletters, but, you know, I don't read everything real time, but I definitely want access to them when I'm ready to look for a particular type of idea. I ended up going through and creating all kinds of filters. If you have a Mac, they're called rules. If you go under preferences, there's a little button that says rules, and you basically can tag an email that if it comes in based on a certain email, that it then goes to a certain file. So if you have a Mac, it's rules. If you have a PC, it'll be probably filters and folders. And so that's what I ended up doing around email, but that moment ended up really being the catalyst and the turnaround for me managing email in a whole new way, and that system has evolved quite a bit over time. I probably also made the choice. Usually in those situations, I also make the conscious choice to do something kind for myself, so I will go and get some water, feed myself, take an inner peace time out. Sometimes in those situations, it is about just picking a choice, or maybe there's three different choices I want to make, and maybe I'll let divine guidance pick it, and that simply means I'll step back and see what I feel drawn to do, and even without making the conscious choice, by surrendering to divine guidance, I've actually allowed myself to go into action. Back in New York City, let's take that scenario. So, you know, what will I consciously choose? Well, we consciously chose to muscle our way through and make it to the DoubleTree Suites in Times Square. And then we ended up choosing from there that we were done with our walk, and we actually paid $10 to go 2.5 blocks in a cab. It's kind of funny now, you know that we know how much further it was. But actually, in retrospect, I'm really glad we did, because my husband was immediately happier. We got really clear about exactly where we were going. And you know what? It was a happy $10 spent. And as in the case with both of them, they both consciously chose to make them a story to use an example for the Inner Peace Reality Check process. So those are the six questions. I'll just run through them one more time so they can begin to get anchored into your own psyche. What's the reality of the situation? What am I resisting? So let me start again. So question number one, what's the reality of the situation? Number two, what am I resisting? Question number three, what if I continue resisting? Remember, here's where we want to really feel into our answers fully. Number four, what can I appreciate about the situation? Number five, what are my options? Number six, what will I consciously choose? So those are the six questions to help you transform inner turmoil in a matter of minutes. And as we've gone through this process, I'm confident you've come up with maybe a few more options than you originally were thinking about before, and perhaps are feeling lighter and freer as a result of that. And so how about at this time, we've got some live listeners here on our call and on their webcast. So hello to them. And I'm going to just check here in the Q&A and see if there's any questions. Okay, beautiful. So hello to those of you that are saying hi. Hi, Steph and Mary and David Allen. Wonderful. Great meeting you also on Saturday. So here's a question. So what is the reality of the situation if I'm frustrated with judgment of senior management who's coming from ego? Okay, beautiful. Love that, love that, love that. So, okay, so what's the reality of the situation? You're frustrated. So first off, I would get a little bit more specific about what the reality of the situation is, and that is, so what is senior management doing specifically that you're frustrated with? Are they, you know, not acknowledging you? Is it a rule that they've put in place? Like, what is it specifically that they're doing? Is it their personality? Is it their, you know, you're saying they're coming from ego, so are we frustrated because they're in a place of ego? So that's the first thing I would do, is look at that situation. And I don't know, so Mary, if you're listening via webcast, either you can respond and give me a little bit more information about what specifically is frustrating you about them, or let me know if you're on a live line, and I'll unmute your line. So I'll give you a minute to do that, but I'm going to assume right now that just the frustration is that they're egotistical. I mean, let's face it, sometimes we can all find it annoying when people are being arrogant and, you know, full of themselves and coming from a place of ego and control. So let me just give you some ideas on that. So what am I resisting? We're resisting their ego, their egoic arrogance. All right, well, what if you continue resisting? Well, if we continue resisting somebody that's going to be who they are, right, this is just part of who senior management is. They come from ego. It's what they do. Just as a dog barks or a cat meows, sometimes senior management comes from ego. So if we were to continue resisting that, we might have found that, you know, it's going to have an impact to your health, to your own inner suffering, right? So what can we appreciate about the situation? Well, it's an opportunity to find a place of peace, even in the face of arrogance, right? And we get to, so what are my options? So somebody's being arrogant, and what are our options in the face of that? Well, and we can just treat them with kindness. We can just simply accept them for who they are and for who they aren't. So instead of being attached to this idea of them living into the fantasy of who we want senior management to be, we just simply accept that, oh, you know, here's senior management doing their ego thing. And maybe it's, you know, what are my options? Maybe we need to ask for some support or a question. You know, is there somebody else that you can go to that could help coach this person to respond in a different way? But if it were me, I would, you know, this is a great opportunity to really practice accepting what is. any kind of personality quirk or so forth, definitely accepting what is instead of trying to change ego. It's just, you know, it's just easier to, oh, there they are, you know. If somebody's arrogant, think of it this way. If somebody's arrogant and coming from ego, being all dominating and controlling, does it really have anything to do with my sense of inner peace? Actually, the answer is no. It really has to do with their inner environment. If I simply observe it, I'll tell you what, observing egoic behavior can be quite amusing when we just, oh, recognize it for what it is instead of wishing that it should be something else. So great question. Thank you for that. So you've just heard the Inner Peace Reality Check process, 6 questions that you can ask to transform inner turmoil at any moment, to create fresh momentum anytime you need it, and to address the mobilizing feelings of overload, uncertainty, or irritability anytime you want to shift from a icky, sticky, uncomfortable, not feeling so good emotional state to a place of inner peace. Remember to pull out these 6 questions and put them to use. There's only one thing that you really need to put these questions into play, and that is a sense of willingness. I know for a fact when I'm in the most stuck places myself, sometimes I even don't feel so willing at times, but I'm always grateful that when I allow myself to shift in a place of willingness, that walking myself through these 6 questions, ideally writing down your answers, you're going to find that there's no situation that you cannot create new, fresh momentum and a transformation on the inside by just looking at these questions. 100% guaranteed to work. So that's it for our call today. You're welcome to access more information from lifecoachmary.com, and I'll look forward to playing with you in the future.